at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Right, it's 8:47 this morning. We should talk about how good it feels to see Dennis Leamy in his Leinster gear. It's one of those things that really gives me a warm feeling. It's like, wow, look what we just did. Us being Leinster, obviously, and you being Munster in this instance. We took your boy. We've taken his skills. We've injected them into the best young players in the country. And we're going to show it in your face now for the next decade on the back of this man's genius. Leamy was always one of my favourite Munster players. I mean, if you're allowed to have favourite Munster players when you're a Leinster fan. But like, he would tear up trees for Ireland. His performance in Twickenham against England. Got to mix up my years here now. But the Shane Horgan two tries, he is sensational in that game. He is just like brute force, brilliant intelligence. There's a line out towards the end of the game where it's just Leamy, where you're just like, Leamy! And there he is looking spiffing in his Leinster gear. It just seems to fit him. I think maybe what Leinster should do is just decide that Tipperary is actually really culturally more Leinster than Munster.
Oh my God, here we go.
We'll just take Tipperary from you. You're not really using it. No. You kind of seem to be underutilising it.
That is it. I'm just going to decide that.
I think you'll find Trevor Hogan also a key member of the Leinster backroom team.
This imperialistic view that you so rail against quite often on the show has reared its head in truly disgusting form this morning.
The best
trying to annex Tipperary for Leinster.
Well, I mean, Aidan O'Brien's actually...
Offaly should be a Munster.
Aidan O'Brien's
a Wexford. Should be a Munster.
Look, I mean, I think Offaly spiritually feels a bit more like Munster. Maybe you can have it. Maybe it's a fair trade.
No, I wouldn't trade Tipperary for Offaly, sorry, but I would take Offaly, you know.
Oh no, it's a trade.
Free.
It's
for
a trade.
Free, we'll take the Larrys. No
so
problem.
How do you feel as a dyed in the wool Munster rugby fan? feeling Dennis Leamy, seeing Dennis Leamy in the photograph was like, yeah, that looks good.
I think Rory O'Connor in the Independent today has a list of the wild geese. So I'm considering Dennis Leamy a wild goose of Munster. Dan Grant and co are just keeping the seats warm for a Rog, O'Connell, Leamy, Mike Prendergast dream team to come back, a travelling Wilburys collection of Munster geniuses to come back one day down the line. It's okay. I mean, you're obviously leathered with money in Leinster. You've got an unbelievable private school system and you don't know what to do with your cash, and it's great that you're able to fund the development of a great young coach like Dennis Leamy, and we will be truly grateful for your service down the line.
You're doing a great job of keeping your best people associated with the team. Oh no, so here's Rory O'Connor's list in the Independent today. Dennis Leamy, Leinster's newly appointed contact skills coach. Dunnock O'Ryan, who's obviously finished his career at Racing and is now part of La Rochelle's coaching ticket. Mossy Lawler, backs coach at Connacht. He works with his cousin and fellow Shannon man, Colm Tucker, who handles defence. Felix Jones, obviously famously part of Razzie's setup, learning all the dark arts. James Collin, a coach at Poe. He became a coach at Poe in 2017, now defence coach at Toulon. Mike Prendergast, obviously, who is now Racing 92 attack coach. Paul O'Connell with Ireland. Flannery, who obviously won the Premiership last year with Harlequins, really quickly got to Harlequins, team goes and explodes. Ronan O'Gara, obviously, at La Rochelle, and Declan Kidney at London Irish, who seems to be getting better as well. It's like, that's pretty amazing.
That's what happens when you have green shoots all the time in a phenomenal part of the country. Great people are just going to have to fly away for a little while and come home when they're all ready. So I think this is something that people should be proud of, that there are all these fingers in the pies across Europe and across Ireland as well.
If the Ireland coaching job becomes available after the Rugby World Cup and the Leinster coaching ticket is transfixed to the Ireland one, which would seem like a fairly, it's not that controversial to say so. Maybe Paul O'Connell, who's already in the setup, would step up. It's not a done deal. But at that point, you could easily see O'Gara and Leamy and Flannery in charge.
Oh my God.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, here's the thing. For that to happen,
O'Gara plays a Leinster style of rugby. Maybe he wouldn't be that welcome in Munster anymore, you know?
For that to happen, I would say that, first of all, yes, you would need the Leinster team to take up the national post. But you would also need, I suspect, this current Munster ticket to still be in charge, which means that Munster have won some silverware at the end of the season. Because I'm not
it
sure...
It could be Larkham in charge, couldn't it?
There would be some sort of moving. I'm not sure, though. I think the criticism that has existed for Munster has been... ticket wide, it hasn't just been towards Van Graan. Van Graan's got the sharp end of it.
I don't think that's to be honest, I disagree with that. So that's up for grabs.
Really, do you think? I thought Larkham came in for a good bit of criticism at the end of last year when
I think people are
looking a little bit unimaginative in an attack.
I think people are seeing the signs of what Larkham can do. Definitely, I think Larkham's reputation is big. So,
well, either way, if you allow me to exist in this fantasy world for a moment, where Munster have won the Champions Cup or the URC at the end of this season, it means they've come upon some sort of success that they haven't had in 10 years, and as a result of that, things are going okay for Munster. So either way, it's a win-win. Either you've got your boys home,
so you've won a league title. Say you win a league title, and then next year you don't win the league, and then the lads move on, the coaching ticket with Leinster moves on to Ireland, and then it's like O'Gara, and I mean, it would be a bit of a homecoming for Felix Jones. O'Gara, Felix Jones, and I don't know, any other connection there?
Yeah, but like, it's great because it'll be like inside agents in South Dublin
winning the European Cup,
where like they had their ear to the ground. They're watching St. Michael's games to scout for Leinster, and actually it's like, yeah, we got this kid James Ryan, just not good enough for Leinster. I think Munster look, I need for a second row there. Paul O'Connell's just after retiring, let's send him down the road. So this, no matter what way you look at it, is just a perfect scenario.
Well, congratulations to Dennis Leamy on stepping up to be involved with the Leinster senior team. It is great that there is a pathway for young Irish coaches to progress through the provinces and to get jobs, and to be part of that coaching system is actually a clear sign that things are working well. You could definitely do it some more, and you know, I actually think there's a good chance Andy Friend would be an amazing Ireland coach, like, and he might well be a candidate for it. So he's going to be on the show on Sunday. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Really interesting in the papers today, talking about how the Jake White comments aren't water off a duck's back, that actually it's frustrating listening to people say that about Connacht, because it's not true, and that he knows the work that goes in, and he knows that the identity that they're creating is something unique and different. And I think you see it, and you certainly, anytime we had him in at a show we did in Galway, and you come away from every interaction with him feeling positive about life, positive about his own belief system and the quality of work that he's doing, and it's backed up on the field. Like, that's the thing. They had a horrific injury luck over the last 18 months, but any time they've had a semblance of their first team available, they're playing top quality rugby in sometimes in pretty grueling conditions. There's an ambition there that kind of tallies and chimes a little bit with the conversation we had with Fergal Logan a bit earlier on. It's like, you can't just set your team up to defend, you've got to set your team up to attack. And it seems like the ambition that he has for what the game should be played like is something that I think fits really well with our culture. We like to take the fight in all our sports. All our best sports teams take the fight to the opposition. And I don't know. We kind of grope around for what the identity of Irish sport should be, but it should be front foot, I think.
And I think your point maybe almost is in line with what Andy Friend said the other day, that, you know, he hit back at Jake White because there is that real sense out there, that real disrespect towards Connacht. And if Andy Friend was doing what he was doing right now with Leinster or Munster, obviously on a greater scale, then of course he would be in the Ireland conversation, whereas you don't hear his name mentioned one bit. Now, it may be to do with the fact that there is genuinely outstanding Irish coaches and Irish candidates, and maybe that's what people see as the next move for the Irish head coach job. But I do think part of it is that he is Connacht head coach, and what he has done is produced a brilliant style of rugby over the last couple of years, which looks like it's going to get more effective over the next little while too. So he's definitely been a brilliant addition to the conversation in Irish rugby, and unbelievably dedicated to the gig in Connacht as well.
Yeah, okay. We should talk about Gordon Darcy's column today about Munster. He thinks the Munster back row is as dynamic and effective as it has been in recent seasons, that Coombs is actually a significant upgrade on standard, that Jack O'Donoghue is finally delivering on his promise, and that Peter O'Mahony makes this kind of perfect balance in that back three, and that this is the time where Munster have to deliver, that there are no excuses, there's no real weaknesses in the squad at the moment that would prevent them from going to a European final and from winning the league. Is that, am I paraphrasing correctly?
Well, part of me thinks this is yerra 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 from Gordon Darcy, you know, saying that the pressure's on Munster going into this year's campaign. But the main part of me thinks that he is spot on about this. And when you see some of the talent that came off the bench the other day in Zeebo and Snyman and the players who they were replacing, having a decent evening, certainly in the second half, you're like, okay, the depth is getting better. And I know this false dawn has emerged at times over the last couple of years where you're like, okay, maybe the depth is there, because that was always the trump card for Leinster, that you could probably live with them for 50 minutes and then you couldn't live with them because the quality, the test quality coming off the bench. And maybe Munster are getting to that level. And as you say, he focuses in on the back row, and he even refers to Jack Conan, who's coming back from the Lions, looking down the M7, thinking to himself, there's a battle with Gavin Coombs here, and that battle will get more intense because Coombs is thriving in a back row that doesn't have CJ Stander. And while Stander has been an unbelievable servant for Munster and for Ireland, there is a bit more dynamism now about this back row, according to Gordon Darcy. There is a bit more invention that is required, and someone like Coombs is thriving in that scenario. It's going to be hard to decide who is your number four to number eight over the next few months when everybody's back fully fit. Like, he picks out Byrne, Snyman, Klein, O'Mahony, Coombs and Jack O'Donoghue. Five into six there. So whoever's coming off the bench there is still of an unreal standard. Now, there will be injuries. It always happens in the second and back row. But that depth is getting stronger. Like, he talks about Ben Healy and Keenan Knox and says that they're two guys that are going to have to make season-defining contributions. And I think the best thing you can say about those players at the moment is that we just don't know what they're going to be like when they're in the white heat of a top-quality battle. But the early signs, again, are really, really good. And Healy, in particular, just looks exceptional. And it's just not even to do with his skill set, it's to do with his confidence and how he does not look out of place whatsoever when he's coming into these games. As I say, there will be higher pressure scenarios for these players beyond the first couple of weeks of the URC, but the early signs, you have to accept, are very positive.
Yeah, and you must be properly be excited by what you're seeing at the moment.
100%. And it comes back to that idea that you have a squad where you're like, this is something that can challenge for trophies. The only thing is that it is a squad that has to challenge for trophies, and it really does. And I think that the squad that they've had in previous years has challenged. It's just fallen short, in particular against Leinster, in defining games on a domestic level. And I think that's where things have fallen flat. I think last year Toulouse were much better in the Champions Cup. Of course, on the day, the game could have gone differently for Munster. In fairness, it could have. But I think quality-wise, Toulouse just looked to have the edge on Munster in a couple of different departments, and particularly in the halfbacks. And it's just going to be really interesting to see how Munster develop in that area over the next little while. And it comes back to Healy again, it comes to Craig Casey, but also to see that level of performance from Conor Murray that prompted Warren Gatland in the first place to make him Lions captain, to get that level of performance from Joey Carberry, which made him one of the most exciting young talents in Irish rugby. Like, if all those things come together with this renewed grunt and depth up front, absolutely this is a team that can challenge on both fronts. You do just have to be cautious, because it feels like we've said this exact same thing over previous seasons with Munster, but this
feels
is a level above, you know?
It does feel different, because you still got Diallende to pepper in as well. Now, there was that kind of nagging issue of the November internationals and the South Africans going off and playing there and coming back, and just how tired they're going to be, because Diallende has played a lot of rugby and he's been away for a long time. But
the thing with Diallende is that we started to see a really positive version of him at the end of last season, and I wonder, was that because he wasn't involved in the Six Nations? You know, that, like, once you get to the business end of the season, actually the South Africans are going to be the ones that are in good nick.
Maybe it's a fair point.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.